This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Dan Andrews, and you're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
It's 21 minutes past 10. You're with Mecca, Isaac, and on the panel, it's Paul.
Thanks, Isaac. And if you're hearing our new show IDs, we have a whole selection of them. You just heard Dan Andrews. We've got Neil Mitchell and Sally Kapp, John Pesutto, Ave Pulielli from the Greens. Actually, we've got a heap of them. Anyway, and they all very willingly did that for us. Our next guest is Kat Theophanous. Kat is the member for Northcote and joins us, and we're going to have a bit of a good chat. I'm interested, Kat, how did you come to get involved in politics? What possessed you?
Well, it's very nice to be here, and yes, Thank you for having me on the show.
A pleasure.
What possessed me to get involved in politics? It's a bit of a long story, really. I know we don't have all the time in the world.
Well, there's obviously a family history.
Yes. Dad was elected when I was 2 years old.
Oh, wow. God.
So I do have a bit of a, love-hate relationship with politics by virtue of growing up with it. It wasn't always the most pleasant experience as a child. But I think what really drew me to actually putting my hand up to run for the seat of Northcote was my background working with Fiona Richardson, who was the previous Labor member
passed away,
I worked for her as a ministerial advisor in her role as Minister for Family Violence and Women. And so we worked together at the time that Victoria was doing the Royal Commission into family violence. And if you remember back then, it was sort of a turning point for the nation and certainly for the state around Rosie Batty's experience, what happened with her son Luke, the commentary that she was making around family violence being something that affects every single one of us, no matter what house you live in, no matter your level of education, that kind of thing. And it really shone a light on the whole system and launched the Royal Commission. So we worked very hard, and it was a challenging time, a very rewarding time. And Fiona, to her credit, never gave up on that to the very end. She, and watching her and working with her, I think that was very much a part of my inspiration to say, hey, we've got unfinished business, and I've got unfinished business. So that's what drove me ultimately to put my hand up for Northcote.
I know Isaac's got a question, but I want to ask you, you talked about, a love-hate relationship, with, you were 2 years old when your father was elected. I don't think a lot of listeners necessarily understand the amount of time and commitment required to be a member of parliament, let alone, holding, any ministerial responsibilities. So did that inform you, Kat, in terms of how you now as a member of parliament, how you live your life outside that, that relationship with the parliament? So does your experience, when you were younger and growing up of affect, I suppose having an absent father for so much of the time, how has that informed you?
Yeah, it's challenging. I've got two little girls. Yep. I've got a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. And when I was elected, I was about 7 months pregnant with the second one. So lots of swollen feet on the pre-poll booth for those 2 weeks. So I struggled with that decision to initially get into it, because I knew how much time would be taken away from my girls with me being in politics, and things haven't really changed on that front all that much. It's still a struggle, and you do have to be very mindful and definitive about the time that you allocate, but there's pluses and minuses, like in everything. I really value the fact that I'm setting a role model for my girls, yeah. and that they're seeing me pursue my passions and take on a leadership role within our community. I also just miss them, you know, and they miss me, and that plays out in all sorts of different ways, from the little one coming into bed at night and just laying on top of me, yeah. because she just misses me.
Lovely.
But it's something that, you know, you take on board and you try to integrate it into your schedule and your life, and you make those times within yeah. the diary to just be with them.
Better you than me.
So, Kat, how do you balance as a female in politics and being a mother, I suppose? And what kind of advice would you give to people who is female and wants to get into politics in the future?
I think it's become a little bit easier, and we've seen how many women have got into politics in more recent times. I'm really proud of the Labor Party here in Victoria having so many women, not just in the caucus, but in the cabinet as well, and in really significant portfolios like Attorney General, you know, transport, infrastructure, health. These are big portfolios that these women are taking on, and I think that's absolutely amazing, and it's been certainly inspiring for me as a, you know, relatively younger MP coming into politics in what has traditionally been a pretty male-dominated field. But I do recall when I first got in, the parliament, the physical parliament in Spring Street, didn't have a baby room or a parent room at all. So I'd just given birth and I had a newborn that needed to be breastfed. And for the first time ever, they set one up. And it's the only room within the Parliament of Victoria that doesn't have the bells ringing with that really loud ringing sound, because we didn't want to wake the babies up.
Well, it's about time.
About time.
Yeah. Speaking of the Labor government, the Andrews government is facing an inquiry about cancelling the Commonwealth Games. Can you tell us anything about that?
Look, from my perspective, I represent Northcote. We haven't had barely any negative feedback on that decision. I think for my community, they see that we're struggling as a state with other issues. You know, there's a cost of living crisis. There's housing affordability. We need to make sure secure jobs return to our suburbs in the inner north. So for us, I think that there is a sentiment that this was a difficult but the right decision to make.
I think the challenge here, Kat, is, and we've seen, you know, what's played out in Canada, and I think, you know, certainly people that I've spoken to agree with the decision. I think there's, you know, I wonder about how the cost blew out to such an extent. And, you know, so I think, you know, I'm a great believer in parliamentary committees and inquiries. So I was a bit disappointed that the Labor MPs in the upper house didn't support the inquiry, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about numbers, isn't it? The opposition and the crossbench voted to establish it.
Yeah, look, I'm in the lower house, yes. and I've got to say the upper house is a bit of a mystery to me, so I can't really comment on that. All I can really say is that for my community in the inner north, it was the right decision.
Yeah. Now, as parliamentary secretary, for women's health, there's, you know, the fact that that role exists at all is fantastic. And I'm just wondering, you know, some of the disparities and the gaps that exist between, you know, heterosexual women's health and queer women's health. How do you fill those gaps? I mean, the health system is under enormous pressure. We all know that. We all acknowledge that. So how do you fill those gaps, Kat?
So I'm so thrilled to be able to continue the work that I've been doing in gender equality more broadly through the lens of women's health. And you're right, it is a bit of a historic moment that we've actually allocated a parliamentary secretary position for women's health. And it comes off the back of a very significant investment that the state government has made into women's health.
Yeah.
That includes the expansion of our sexual and reproductive health hubs from we're adding in another 9 to make it 20. We're going to establish 20 women's health clinics, a women's health research institute, a pain inquiry for women. These are all really landmark initiatives that are going to, I think, change the landscape when it comes to women's health. And I want to be really clear, when we talk about women's health, we are talking about it in a very inclusive way. We understand that
it's women.
That people have been disadvantaged within the health system based on both sex and gender characteristics. And that has been the result of a long history, centuries-old history, of the way that women's bodies have been treated and understood within our society, with taboo,
yeah,
with shame, with all sorts of layers that have contributed to a system in which women are simply not properly understood. They're underdiagnosed, they're under-researched, and this has consequences at a very tangible level for their health outcomes. So we see things like it taking 7 years for endometriosis to be diagnosed in women.
That's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary.
7 years.
Yeah. And we've seen cases where that's the average.
Yeah.
There's much longer than
much
that
longer,
in some
yeah.
cases. And these are years of women being in pain.
Yeah.
Significant yeah. pain that is not properly recognized. And so that's part of the rationale and the reason why we're going to launch the pain yeah. inquiry in particular. And when I talk to women within my community about these experiences, it's palpable how much it's hurting us,
yeah.
And how much that struggle to be properly understood, having to strategize before you go to your GP just to make sure that you're not dismissed,
yeah,
that your symptoms aren't dismissed, that takes a toll. It takes a really significant toll on people, and it's something that we've recognized and that I'm really proud to be starting the work of addressing and bringing health equity into our system.
I can hear that. I can hear that passion coming through, and I do. I, you know, people that are passionate about policy, that really invigorates me, because politics is interesting, but policy is what matters. Stay with us, Kat. You're on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Isaac. We're going to have a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Pesutto, Victoria's opposition leader. I listen to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, and so should you. Every Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, download the Joy app or stream or listen on the radio.
There you go. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Isaac. Our special guest this morning is Kat Theophanous, member for Northcote, but also the Parliamentary Secretary for Women's Health. And we heard about the expansion of some of those women or female-specific health centres. You're adding another 9, is that right?
Of the sexual and reproductive
yeah.
health hubs,
yeah.
yes. We're adding 9 to the 11 that currently exist
right.
to make it 20.
Okay. And just location-wise, briefly, are they there's some regional as well as metropolitan?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're looking at the whole state when
yeah.
we're talking about these things. The locations have not yet been announced,
okay.
but we're certainly looking at service mapping and mapping where the demand is.
Yeah. Look, I wanted to ask one question we ask all members of Parliament when they come in here about anti-vilification legislation. The Attorney General, Jacqueline Symes, has been in a couple of times and spoken about it, and the desire from the government to have anti-vilification legislation. And in particular, you know, my community has been targeted, whether it's drag story time, whether it's just simply events, you know, by, well, they're just nut jobs. But, you know, we know the government, you know, has banned the use of the swastika. But we believe it needs to go further, and the government acknowledges that. It's the time frame that concerns me, Kat, that we're looking at potentially, initially the attorney said it would be this year. It now seems to have jumped into next year. What representations can you make to the attorney? And I know, you know, she has a lot on her plate, but, you know, to encourage, we need some more speed with this. There's every day that it goes on that events are disrupted and hate is given a platform, is not good for my community and for other communities as well. So what do you reckon?
Thank you for asking the question. I think that there is absolutely no place for that kind of behaviour within our society and our state. And I have zero tolerance for the kind of disruptions and targeting that's been happening. I think we've all been horrified by it, particularly where, you know, you've got children being targeted as well. And we hosted a drag story time within the Parliament House in solidarity.
Your colleague Harriet Shin was incredibly
That story time, it was fantastic. And I represent a community that, as you know, has a very significant LGBTIQ plus community within it and a very long history of activism on these issues. So I'm very conscious of the need to do more in this space, and I will certainly be representing the views of my community to the Attorney General. On timeline, I'm afraid I can't. I'm not the portfolio minister responsible for those things. But the communities of the Inner North are 100% behind this and behind stronger laws in relation to anti-vilification, and I'll be representing them.
Yeah, because – and thanks for that, Kat. I mean, it's – you know, obviously I'm particularly concerned for my community, but, you know, people of non-English speaking backgrounds, you know, culturally and linguistically diverse people, they will be the next targets. It's easy for these rat bags to target the LGBTQI community, but we need to remember these flies will land somewhere else.
Unfortunately, they have a very deliberate strategy of targeting some of the most vulnerable communities within our society, and it's despicable.
Yeah.
So we do need to cut it off at the root and really have a no-tolerance position on it. And I know the Premier has spoken in very strong words about this as well.
Fortunately, they don't travel too far because they believe the earth is flat. Isaac.
Yeah.
So I know Isaac, before the show, he was asking me, I wonder what's the most challenging part of being an MP? You talked about, you know, growing up. Sorry, Isaac.
Yeah, that was exactly my question. Like, what's the most challenging part and which is the best part of being an MP?
I think it's I'll answer both questions with the same answer because I think it covers both. So the most challenging part of being an MP is hearing the diversity of views within your community and finding a way to navigate and balance those views to be able to represent them. But it's also the most wonderful part because you get to hear so many perspectives from the people that you represent and the people that form part of the community that you live in, and hear their aspirations and their dreams and their challenges. So I think it's both. It's being able to hear and connect with your community in that way, and then being able to support and help them to reach their dreams and aspirations.
Yeah. Cool. We're actually out of time.
Oh.
But I want to thank you for coming in. It is always so much better to have people in the studio, you know, so we can see each other. And, you know, on the phone it always loses something a little, I think, sometimes. But I want to thank you for coming in, and I look forward to speaking to you again, and particularly once the locations are announced for the – and, you know, you can give us an update on what Jacqueline says.
Sounds good, Mecca. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. So that was Kat Theophanous, the member for North, but also the Parliamentary Secretary for Women's Health. And again, thanks for coming in. I know Saturdays are pretty precious, and I hope your two daughters get to spend some time with you today in between cake stalls and all that sort of. Yeah, cool. Thanks very much. You are on Saturday Magazine. When we come back, we're going to talk Supreme Court of the United States and some of the decisions they've recently made, particularly around university admissions, otherwise known as the Harvard decision. And I'm interested in this because it's a really technical argument, but stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.